Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Emma, who is a Catholic artist and a mother of two. She's speaking about her journey from a ticking along Christian life to her deep encounter with Catholicism, and alongside that, discovering her vocation as an artist. In this conversation, she speaks about what it was like to listen to God's nudges, responding to God incidences, and now using her gifts to serve the church. So, Emma, what was life like growing up with both Anglican and Catholic influences?
It was interesting. So my dad, he and his family, they grew up Catholic, but they were basically all lapsed by the time I was born. So we still had quite a lot of cultural influences, and I went to a Catholic school and things, but I was actually baptized and brought up in the Church of England, as most people are or were in this country in the 90s. I think our family, we had a good mix. It was definitely more Anglican, and it was definitely more of a cultural Christianity than an evangelical sort of experience.
So what did faith mean to you as a young person then?
By young person, do you mean like a teenager or?
Yeah.
So I think as a teenager, that was when I really started to explore my own faith and take that faith that my parents had brought me up in and given to me and make it my own. So we had a youth group at our church, and I was quite involved with that. We went to Soul Survivor and, you know, all the usual things that the youth groups do. And it was exciting. And I felt like I was sort of getting to know Jesus as my own sort of relationship with him instead of my parents. And then when I went to uni in 2011, I joined the Christian Union. I was actually, by that point, I had fallen away a bit. And it was a friend who I met on my course who was a Christian, and she invited me along. And it just went from there, really. CU was, it was really good. We met lots of other Christians, lots of different denominations. So there weren't many Catholics there because they went to the Cathsoc. But it was really good. I met my husband there, and it just was quite a sort of uneventful walk with Jesus. Yeah, it was just sort of trundling along, and I was reading my Bible, I was praying, and that was it, really. I mean, there wasn't any, it was just a normal experience, really.
So how did meeting your husband like transform your faith?
So that's a good question. I was still Anglican at this point, and probably more towards the low end of it, so the low church, evangelical, yeah, that sort of side. And my husband, he had come to uni after a gap year. He'd volunteered with Latin Link, which is a Christian charity, again, evangelical. They sort of send volunteer groups to South America. And he'd come back from, he went to Ecuador, and he'd seen the Catholicism there and maybe not the best part of it. He saw like it mixed with folk practices and things like that. And that was his idea of Catholicism. It was, he never interacted with the faith beyond that. And he was brought up in the Church of England as well, but he was even more low church than I was. So he definitely brought, when I first met him, I met him through a house group. And I remember thinking,
what's a house group?
So it's like a small group where you're put together with about eight other people, and you take it in turns to go around to each other's houses and study the Bible usually and pray. So one semester would be usually one book of the Bible. So we did Romans and Colossians, I think, that year. And then we'd cook dinner and then we'd pray after Bible study. And I just remember almost being slightly annoyed by him, to be honest, because he had all these good experiences and he seemed so much more well-versed and like in a closer relationship with God than I was. And I thought, well, when I got to know him a bit more and didn't find him annoying, I thought, oh, well, you know, I could learn so much from him. And I think we have. I think we've learned a lot from each other, actually, in different ways.
So when you met him, you were studying pharmacy. What made you decide to study pharmacy?
Well, I was good at science, and it was just coming out of the credit crunch. So the big recession at the end of the 2000s, I suppose it was. And my parents were very keen that I did something with a job at the end of it. I didn't want to do medicine. Veterinary, I sort of wanted to do, but then just decided that I just wasn't committed enough. So pharmacy it was. I thought it would be like a mixture between Harry Potter and chemistry and maybe a bit of people interaction. Yeah, and I was 17 when I applied, so really young. I don't know if it was the right thing to do, but I think it was in a way, even though I'm not practicing as much, so I was.
What do you mean by you weren't sure if it was the right thing to have done?
Well, I think it was the second lecture out of like the whole year. So I was a fresher and the lectures had just started and it was the second lecture, pharmacy practice. And I just remember thinking to myself, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I don't know if I've made the right choice. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I thought it was going to be a lot more science-y than it actually ended up being. And I really wasn't prepared for the reality of the job that I was training to do. So, and I just remember thinking, oh, wow, this is really boring. Like all of the law and things. I had no idea. I should have researched it better. Parts of it were really good. And I do enjoy being a pharmacist. But yeah, I do remember feeling a bit lost actually at the beginning.
And did you find your way in it? And was God part of that experience?
So I did find my way. So I found a really good group of friends. It was a mixture of the girl I spoke about a few minutes ago, the Christian, Winnie. She was in my tutor group. And then we had another two girls as well. And we got on really well. And we're still really good friends now and meet each other with our kids. And I think looking back, that was God's way of giving me a gateway back in. Because when I went to uni, when I first started, I'd basically fallen away from the church as a universal church. I wasn't really that bothered about going to church. And I'd just been given all this freedom. Like I came from quite a strict upbringing. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, I can do whatever I want. And I think actually God putting Winnie in my path was his little way of providing a bit of steering for me and making sure that I didn't completely go off the rails or just get even more lost. Because without her, I don't think I would have gone back when I did, really. Yeah.
I think it is quite a common experience for people that once they get that freedom of university where mum and dad aren't telling them to go to church or like to pray, etc., that they do think, oh, I've got freedom, I don't need to go, and then step away during that time as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is quite common.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your trip to Catalonia and what did you experience there?
Oh, yeah. So Catalonia, we went there, 2018, I think it was. It was lovely. It was in October. It's a Greek island, if people aren't aware of what Catalonia is and where it is in the world. It was the most beautiful place I've ever been to, I think. And they're all Greek Orthodox over there, almost. Most people are. So they had all these beautiful churches, beautiful landscapes. The sea was like a turquoise colour, and it was just such a lovely time. And I remember being drawn to the beauty of these massive ornate churches with mosaics and icons and all of that, and thinking, wow, like that's such a such a nice historical base for like people going, like members of the Orthodox Church, like they have all this history. Anyway, then in the middle of the holiday, we visited the only Catholic church on the island. And there was this really old icon in there. It was really, the church was really bare compared to the rest of the other Orthodox churches. It was just bare walls, most of it. But they had this icon of Mary and Jesus. Sort of looked a bit like Our Lady of Perpetual Help, that type of composition. And it had been rescued from the sea. That was the story anyway. And something about me just drew me in to it. And after that interaction, it was like God interacted with me through this icon. I hadn't really had any great sort of massive experiences with icons before. They weren't part of my faith practice. So he drew me into this icon. And then I just had this compulsion almost to learn as much as I could about the history of the church. And I remember sitting out on our balcony in the apartment we were renting, sort of looking on my phone about all different things, like the church fathers and how had I not heard of these people before and all of this. And yeah, it was like God just gave me this big nudge.
So was it difficult at first to follow that nudge?
From an intellectual point of view, it wasn't, because I was just so hungry for the knowledge. But then I started talking to my husband about it, just like slipping in bits and bobs here and there. And I could tell that he wasn't very receptive to it. And I said I was, like, after a month or so, I said that I was quite interested in finding out more and that I'd emailed the local Catholic parish. And he was like, oh, really? Like, I can't believe that you would feel that way, from what he had experienced. Like, in his eyes, Catholics weren't Christians. They were something else. They were like a mix of Christianity and, I don't know, folk craft. Like, I don't know, not witchcraft, but you know what I mean? Superstition. In his eyes, which I think when he'd only seen a very, very, very tip of it, maybe that's what some people would think. And it got to the point where I said to God in prayer, like, I don't want to do this unless you really want me to, or you're going to bring Dan, my husband, with me, and you're going to change his heart, because I just can't do it. It's too difficult. And the parish hadn't got back to me, so I just left it. And I left it for 2 years without doing anything.
That's a long time to not do anything in, if you're feeling that nudge. What happened that made you do something about it later?
Those 2 years, they were actually really difficult for me, in terms of, it wasn't quite a spiritual desert, but I was just feeling really unfulfilled with all these questions and the church. We had this lovely Anglican parish. It was wonderful. We had house groups and all sorts of things, and we really liked the vicar there. But there was, deep down, I just wasn't. I did not feel in my heart that it was enough, in a way, which sounds really like cocky, but it's not meant to sound that way. It just, there was something nudging and tugging still. And actually, what the 2 years, so exactly 2 years after, a friend at the time said that she'd prayed for me. She was Catholic. She said that she prayed for me to worship at night. And then literally the next day, I couldn't believe it, because I thought, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. She didn't really know what was going on at the time, like the amount of turmoil that was going on inside my head. And anyway, the very next day, I got an email from the Catholic priest in our town. I think he just started at the church, and he must have been going through emails. Anyway, I got this email, and it was about confirmation classes. And I replied to him and said, please, can I meet with you? I need to talk to someone about these things that have been happening. So lots of God incidences had been starting to happen. Like, people had been taught, and these people didn't know either what was going on. So just lots of things, like the email, and people had been, it come up in conversation quite a lot, and can't remember some of the others, but it was this sort of steady sort of flow of things that were a bit odd. Yeah,
we talked about it on the podcast before about how sometimes it's more like little moments where like God is like clicking things into place rather than like a big boom moment. What was it like when you did finally get to have that conversation meeting the priest?
It was a big relief, actually, more than anything, because I had said to him, are all of these things that I think are from God, are they actually, do you think they're actually from God? Are they the Holy Spirit? Or is it just me making things up in my head, like making connections between things that aren't there? And he said that he thought it was from the Holy Spirit, from what I told him. And he just had this really calm demeanor as well. It just, I don't know, it made the pieces click into place a bit more. That didn't mean that I wasn't worried about talking to my husband. I mean, at this point, we had our first child as well. So our lives had moved on quite a bit. He knew that I had gone to meet the priest. So I think I was still a bit nervous about that. But all in all, I was relieved that actually something might be happening, and maybe it was just easier to not ignore God for 2 years and listen to what he had to say.
Yeah.
So it was just getting harder and harder.
I think that's a lesson for us all. Don't try and ignore God, because he doesn't make it easy for you to do it.
It's like Jonah and the fish.
What's it like being a Catholic now then?
Now it's very, I mean, from a family point of view, we all go to the same church. So God did change my husband's heart. He's not a Catholic yet, but he's happy to come to Mass with us. He feels, I think, fairly fulfilled at church. We have lovely community in our church. It's different from when I first started, because I don't have just a little baby anymore who can just sit in a pushchair. I have a five-year-old and then a toddler. So it's a bit crazy, but things have leveled out. When I first joined the church, it was all a bit turbulent, maybe still. I wasn't quite sure. It was like, even though I'd thought I'd made my faith my own as a teenager and a young person, it was like I was sort of having to do that again in this new tradition. Like I felt completely new.
And were there like parts of Catholic teaching that was harder to accept or took time to like process what that meant?
Yes, there were. I would say there were two quite different parts. So from a theological point of view, I struggled a bit with the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary, just because it was so different to what I had been brought up with, even though I had that Catholic influence. And I did, like, intellectually, I wrestled with that quite a lot. And it took my priest telling me that sometimes you do just have to trust God and put your faith in him. And that really did help with that. Because as humans, we're never going to fully understand all of these things. And looking at it through a lens of God's love also helped, because I think you can think, oh, well, he didn't have to do that. Like that, you know, Mary being immaculately conceived, she didn't have to be for Jesus to come into the world. But then if you look at it through a lens of God's divine love, then it all starts to make sense, because of course he'd want Mary to be sinless, to birth Jesus into the world. Anyway, that was from an intellectual, theological point of view, that was probably the most difficult part. But also from just more of a pastoral point of view, things like contraception with a non-Catholic husband, that was quite tricky for us to navigate. With my job as a pharmacist, we give out the morning after pill. I wasn't giving it out at that point, but that sort of just cemented it for me that was not something that I would be doing. And that can cause not problems, but it has its challenges as well, like in the professional sphere. So yeah, those things were probably the most tricky.
So how did, because you mentioned pharmacy, and now you're doing lots of illustrations for different Catholic organisations. So how did that come about?
Well, so I'd always been arty, and I really liked art as a child. I did art GCSE, art A level. And I kept it up through my studies and my professional job. I was doing things like wedding invitation designs and cards and things like that. And I think in my head, I'd always really wanted to fall back on that. Like, I'd always really hoped and wished that I'd be able to have a creative, maybe not a career, but a creative outlet and not have to do pharmacy full time for the rest of my working life. And anyway, I'd quit my job as a hospital pharmacist when we found out we were expecting our first child, because it just, the pace of it just wasn't going to, and it was COVID at the time, and it was really difficult. So I started doing more art, and it just sort of went from there. I didn't set out to be a Christian artist, but then it just sort of happened. It was like God, again, just nudged me in that direction. And it felt really, it almost feels, so when I create something, it feels almost like a prayer, and that it just felt so natural to be doing it. And then I reached out to CAFOD it was just before I was confirmed. So it was Lent 2022. And I got this, I can't even remember how I found the email address, but I found this email address for the art director there and emailed him, telling him a bit about myself and that I'd love to do some work with them. And they said yes. And it was just a colouring sheet. And then it just went from there. And then I started selling a few things, and I got commissioned to do a children's book. And it's just gone from there, really. And I've been working with CAFOD a lot for the past few years, and it's been absolutely amazing. They're great to work with. A lovely organisation. And yes, some other organisations and publishers and things like that. And it's just been so, I think it's been fruitful for me and fruitful for others. And I just hope that this gift that God has given me is just fruitful for anyone who encounters it. That's the whole point of it, I think.
It kind of sounds like it started off as a side project and how now has moved into your vocational calling.
Yeah. Yeah, alongside motherhood. So I've always fitted it in alongside being a mum, which can be quite tricky. But I think the two work hand in hand, because I don't think I'd be making the art that I'm making without being a mother. And I think vice versa as well. Like, it's really good to have that extra calling to work with the motherhood as well. Yeah.
So what does it mean to you to share the gospel through your art?
I mean, it's a privilege, really. It's just, I don't know, it's amazing, because I feel like God is working through the art. And I think the fact that it's religious and faith-based art, really, it adds such an extra element to it, an extra dimension. It's also quite a responsibility. Sometimes when I think about it, I think, oh, like, is this how it's meant to look? Like, am I portraying everything right? Is this actually going to, like, people going to feel something, or is God going to speak to people through this? Yeah, I mean, I will say that when I make the artwork, a lot of the time I feel like it's not just me doing it, it's also God. And like I said before, it's a bit like a prayer, but in the form of art. Yeah, like, yeah. Instead of working, maybe, you know, how your actions can be prayers. It's very much like that, I think.
I do kind of get that, because I am not an artist at all. I wouldn't say that. But when I've been on retreats at like St. Bino's and places, and I've just had times where you can go into the art room and do some creative stuff, it feels kind of like the art you're drawing is not coming from you, it's being inspired.
Yeah.
And just a reflection of where I am in my prayer life as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, I think the other side of that can be if you're feeling quite far from God, sometimes that if you do that for a living, like sacred art, it can be, that can present as challenges sometimes. But yeah, it's amazing, really. I can't believe that I'm doing this.
Do you have any recommendations for anyone who's like feeling a bit far from God, but wants to kind of enter into prayer through art?
I would say, don't be afraid of just starting. I know that's a really common piece of advice, but sometimes the most difficult part of it can actually be, one, coming into prayer with God, especially after a break. Sometimes that can be quite intimidating. And also the art, again, especially if you're a perfectionist, it can be intimidating just to start, put pen to paper or brush to paper. I would say, I don't know, it's, yeah, just start anything. It doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't even have to be, I say, if you're looking at a Bible verse, it doesn't even have to be related to the Bible verse. It can just be whatever pops into your head. And sometimes it can be nice to do it with other people. But yeah, I would say just don't put pressure on yourself for it to look a certain way, because usually, even in your head, if you think it's going to look a certain way, then usually at the end of it, it won't look that way, which is a bit like what God does with us.
Yes, that I was thinking of some artworks where I've imagined what it's going to look like, and at the end, not being very happy with it. But it's been actually the ones where I've started with no idea that have ended up probably on my walls.
Yeah.
So how has your journey helped you to become more fully yourself?
I think it's definitely, from a faith point of view, I definitely feel a lot more rooted. I've had to, not trial and error, but it's when you go into something new. So for me, the Catholic faith, it wasn't quite new, but a lot of the parts of it were new. And it makes, as an adult, it makes you reevaluate what you think you know and what you think you believe. And I think making this commitment, like quite a big outward and inward commitment to join the Catholic Church, it made me think, okay, do I believe this? And why do I believe this? Even more so than when I was a teenager.
So what advice would you give to someone who's having those God incidences that you mentioned? And how do you encourage them to listen to those?
Yeah, so definitely praying with it helps. And also the thing that helped the most, especially if you're someone who second guesses your own thought, like I tend to second guess myself a lot. It's just the type of person I am. Seeking someone who is wiser than you to, and actually talking to them about it. So it could be a priest or another person of faith. It could be a sister, someone like that, anyone really who you trust to talk to about it. It's really helped. If you're Catholic, confession, if you have a priest who's good at giving counsel, yeah, I definitely advise just take it to someone who you trust, who's a bit wiser than you.
So what do you wish you'd known earlier about your calling and creativity and faith?
So I wish I'd known that there's room at the table for everyone, that there's no concrete route to God or to creating. There's no concrete route of prayer, of meeting with God, of creating art. And yeah, it's really important. If you're creating Catholic or Christian art on a whole, you have to invite God in. Otherwise, it's not going to bear the fruit that you want it to bear.
And what are you grateful for?
Well, today I'm grateful for my family, which is probably an answer you get a lot. That my little boy turned 5 yesterday, and I can't believe it. And it's just been a wonderful week. And that just, it's such a beautiful thing to go through life with them.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this conversation is going to stay with me because Emma reminded me how God will use the right moment for you to meet him deeper. For Emma, that took 2 years for the priest to respond to her email. I know I've had similar moments like that, and it's amazing how God works in all of our lives. How about you? We'd love to hear how Emma's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.